And a good Tuesday afternoon to you. Welcome on in to Lunch with Klabes and Joe, powered by Gray Bar, driven by Mugginass St. Louis Acura, here on Klabes Online. I'm Joe Roderick, joined alongside by Mike Claiborne, who is in Oakland, California, and we'll get more to the A's and Cardinals series that started last night. But if you haven't heard the news yet today, it was announced earlier this morning that Cardinal Hall of Famer, baseball Hall of Famer, Whitey Herzog passes away at the age of 92. Klabes, he was the oldest member of the Baseball Hall of Fame and left his legacy with the Cardinals and the Kansas City Royals and all of baseball.
Yeah, he was truly one of the greats for a lot of different reasons. When you think about, he was a pretty good player, first of all. I don't think people would remember him. He had a problem with left-handed pitching, and I think that's one of the reasons why you didn't see some of his left-handed bats face lefties. He was a scout. He was a coach. He was a manager. He was a general manager. I mean, he did everything in the game. And for me, as a personal side, he was the first manager I was involved with in covering when I got in the business. He came in the same year I started in 81. And I just did a lot of listening because he was a guy, you know, if you ask him one question, he could go on for 15 minutes. But the bottom line was he really kind of taught me the game. And I found that learning from him was him talking, you listening. And he was always accessible. There was no such thing as a dumb question. I didn't ask many of them because, as I said, I was just kind of listening more than anything else. But over time, you know, we got to really know each other. And he was a delightful person. And the thing is about him, because of his relationship with Mike Shannon and some other people, you know, we got to know each other even better. But one of the things about him, he's a hell of a basketball referee. And he would show up to the SLU games on a regular basis. If there was a big game, he would be there. And we talked basketball all the time, played some golf a couple of times. He was a really good person to me, helped me in my growth, and sorely going to be missed. And I didn't see Whitey. I saw Whitey last year. I knew his health wasn't good, and I didn't see – I saw him at opening days. Oh, as a matter of fact, as I was leaving the ballpark or going downstairs, I saw him then. That was the last time I saw him on opening day. But just a delightful person to learn the game from and was still sharp as a tack. Mike Shannon would always say that, you know, he was the best card player you ever played with because he had an incredible memory. I mean, that's the one thing about him. He had recall unlike anybody I've ever met.
Yeah, it seemed like every year at opening day, you knew Whitey was going to be there, and that was something that he just loved doing, going down there and being part of all the other Red Jackets. Oh, yeah. And hanging out there and kind of being the elder statesman of the bunch with those guys as well.
Yeah, you know, he loved being around his players. His players loved him, you know, and that's the one thing about him. And, you know, we were talking about this a few weeks ago. When you think about Whitey, Tony, and some of the other great managers. Some guys love their manager. Other guys just play for him. I think more guys played for Tony than loved him, but everybody who played for Whitey loved him because he was just such a straight shooter about things, and he always kept you in a good position to succeed. And you know, Tony did too. I won't take anything away from him on that front. But I think overall, the love that players show for Whitey well after their careers are over with is something that you just don't see a lot.
Cardinals released a statement on Whitey Herzog earlier today, mourning the passing of him at the age of 92. Quotes in there can be found by Bill DeWitt Jr. and available on the Cardinals website. And as I just saw coming across the board here too, the Rob Manfred, commissioner of Major League Baseball, also has released a statement on the passing of Baseball Hall of Famer Whitey Herzog. So both of those are out there to read and see what has been said about the Cardinal and Baseball Hall of Famer passing away earlier today at the age of 92. Cardinals are out in Oakland, and Klabes, you and I will talk about that when we come back here in just a few on Lunch with Klabes and Joe.
Hi, everybody. I'm Peter Mugginass with Mugginass St. Louis Acura, here to talk to you today about some benefits of Acura's certified pre-owned program. After passing a 182-point multi-point inspection, Acura backs all of our certified pre-owned cars with a 6-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty and a 7-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Mungenass St. Louis Acura has new inventory arriving daily. Come on into Mungenass St. Louis Acura today, meet our award-winning team, and find that perfect certified pre-owned Acura for you.
Back here on Lunch with Claibs and Joe, powered by Gray Bar, driven by Mungenass St. Louis Acura, Mungenass Burkhart Alton Toyota. And Claibs, we saw that gentleman, Peter Mungenass, out at Mungenass Burkhart Alton Toyota just last week. That's where you and I were, and lots of new cars out there on the Toyota lot in Alton, Illinois, and even some 2025s coming in this week, next week. I know Jamie said mid-April, but the 2025 Camrys are going to be in stock there in Alton, Illinois, if that's what you're looking for.
I'm looking forward to seeing that Camry. You know, I remember when the new models would come out in October. Now, here we are in April. And if the Camry's anything like the one they have on the road now, I think people are going to be very impressed with it. But, you know, what Toyota makes a good vehicle anyway. But one of the neat things about Mungenass is they have such a selection. They have an experienced crew over there on both sides of the river. And I think more than anything else, the fact that they have a lot of pre-owned cars available to them as well. If there's something in particular you're looking for, they can probably help you get it sooner than some other people. And the pricing is always going to be fair and competitive.
Cardinals win last night 3-1 as they started their three-game series against the Oakland Athletics. Claibs, this might be the very final time you ever have to go to Oakland, California.
No, it will be. We're not coming back here.
I know the Cardinals are never going back there. In 2 years, they'll be playing Sacramento. I was going to say, I don't think you have. No, no reason.
No reason. She moved out of Oakland, so I got no reason to.
And so did the Warriors too. So yeah, I mean, even if you want to go check out an NBA game, they're in San Francisco. I mean, every professional sporting team has moved out of Oakland.
It's unfortunate because, you know, the fans deserve better. You know, we had a crowd, an announced crowd last night of a little over 5,500.
And 5,500. That's 5,500. That's 4 digits. 5500 is how many that were in there last night.
We have bigger crowds. Yeah. We have bigger crowds at Roger Dean.
Yeah.
For spring training game. And I heard a chant last night I never heard before. They were saying, sell the team. And, you know, it's unfortunate that it's come to that because the players deserve a better environment as well. I mean, they have not kept it up. It's just not a good place to be. And it's unfortunate that it's come to this. But this is what happens when you have bad ownership or owners who aren't willing to be competitive. And I blame them. And, you know, MLB should own some of this, too, because they have not been the best of friends with these ownership groups. And they've got to do a better job of vetting to make sure these owners are more competitive and not just looking for a money grab. And that's basically what we have in Oakland. And I know that everybody feels like they're going to go to Las Vegas. I'm not so sure about that, because when you think about the franchise relocation fee is $550 million. To put a new team in Las Vegas is going to start at probably $2.5 billion. So you do the math on what the league would like to have, $2.5 billion or $550 million. And so what they do with this team, who knows? But I just don't see it being as cut and dry as some people may think.
We'll get into some of the relocation stuff here in a little bit, because it's something I want to dig into that also relates to the NHL. But seeing that stadium, seeing that massive stadium that was built for football and baseball, just having nobody in it, and remembering those early 2000 A's teams that went on those playoff runs, and some of the players they had on there with the big three pitching, Giambi, Eric Chavez, Miguel Tejada, and just how packed that place was in October for their series against the Yankees, and then seeing what it's turned into now. It's such a black eye for baseball, and just kind of it sucks for the fans in Oakland, because we talked about the Warriors moved to San Francisco, the Raiders, they moved to Vegas. And now you have this team out. And it's, you know, it makes it seem like it's the Oakland fans that are the ones to blame for all this.
Well, there's some apathy there for sure. You know, Oakland as a city has not grown. They've got some other social issues that are taking place there. A lot of people have moved to the outskirts, and it's just not as attractive as it used to be. They can't get anything built. They can't get anything done. And I'm not a big proponent of cities ponying up these billions of dollars to build facilities. You know, I'm of the belief now, if you want a facility, the league's got to be involved, the city's got to be involved, and the owner's got to be involved. All three of them should make legitimate contributions. That way, everybody's got something at stake. And until they do that, because I don't think there's a community in America that's going to build a facility for a sports team. I think that era is over.
Yeah, it should be with how much money these owners have nowadays. Claves, going into this series, the Cardinals and the A's had the same record, 7-9 going into it. Cardinals win last night 3-1. How much research did you have to do on this A's team going into it with the names on this roster?
Well, you know what? We started doing that maybe a week ago. And fortunately, Chris Carey, who was doing the games for the A's, he and I had stayed in touch, so he kind of gave me a heads up on some players. They're going to have a couple of guys in a couple of years that everybody's going to covet and try and trade for, like they always do, especially on the pitching side. And that's what they've turned out to be, is a feeder system to the rest of baseball as far as the talent that they've been able to develop. You know, when you're as bad as they are on an annual basis, you're going to draft early, so you're eventually going to have some good players at some point.
Yeah, and last night, the Cardinals almost with their second shutout of the year. Sonny Gray, former Athletic, before getting traded away, he made his second start for the Cardinals last night. Another scoreless outing for him. Looks real good, and looks like the guy that you spent all that money on to get this offseason to bring him in there and be that ace, and he's done exactly that two starts in.
You know, you're right. You make a good point. He has assumed that role. I'm so intrigued by his preparation and his commitment. He's not a guy that's going to sit there and chuckle it up with you. But if you want to talk pitching, with the exception of talking to him about everything about what he's going to throw the next guy, he's an interesting person to learn from. And he's taken on that leadership role as far as being the number one guy. And he's always communicating with the players around him. I was talking to Mason Wynn after the game last night. He said that Sonny Gray basically is talking to them on a regular basis while the game is going on in some way, shape, or form, in the dugout, between innings. I mean, he is a very focused individual and probably something we needed, and hopefully it becomes contagious with some of the other younger pitchers that we have.
And that reminds me of something that Matt Pauly noticed during spring training the first week that Sonny Gray was there with the rest of the team, and that Sonny Gray kind of walked right up to Nolan Arenado during drills and looked at him and said, hey, you know, what about this? They're showing him, you know, talking with him about the ways he does stuff. And Nolan Arenado is going to end up maybe with as many gold gloves as anybody else in baseball when it's all said and done. And you have a pitcher going over to him, kind of talking defense with him. And I don't know if that's more so of just wanting to learn what's behind you and kind of learn, okay, what do I have surrounding me if I do let these guys hit the ball?
Yeah, you know, I tell you what it's like. I remember when Bob Gibson would pitch, and Mike Shannon always tells a story that, you know, Bob would talk to Mike about, hey, this is what I'm looking to do here, do there. And there was a ground ball that was about to become a big inning, and Mike booted it. And so he takes a ball over to Gibson. Gibson says, hey, don't worry about it. He said, I'm going to get this guy two strikes and get ready for a double play ball. And the very next pitch, here comes a 5-4-3 double play. And Mike Shannon, I remember saying, I was so happy to get off the field. He would have been the first time I was ready to kiss a man. I was that happy to get off the field. And I see a lot of that in Sonny Gray, where he can kind of predict or prepare you for what he's going to try and do to the next hitter. And we've seen a whole lot of double play balls hit while he's been on the mound in just a short period of time. And those sort of things are the things that you look for from a guy. When he needs it, he can dial it up.
Bullpen comes in last night, three innings, allows one hit, that being the Esteury Ruiz home run off the JoJo Romero pitch. Ryan Helsley picks up his sixth save of the year. I got to tell you, this bullpen, they went through and they kind of revamped the entire pitching staff, not just the starters, the things they did in that bullpen too. I'm very happy with what I've seen 2 weeks into the year with this bullpen.
Yeah, I agree with you. Keenan Middleton hasn't even appeared yet, and he was a guy they were really counting on. The key here is, and if I remember, I told you we're going to have an 18-man staff. The key here is making sure that you don't burn these guys up too early and also making sure you have guys that are in the minors that can come back, come up and help you for a week or two to make sure we don't have dead arms by July. I've seen that before. But right now, the one key that they have working for them is, while they may be pitching every day or every other day, they're not out there long. I mean, they've been very efficient with their pitches. Ron Helsley was really good again last night. And as you mentioned, with the exception of the home run, Jojo Romero was solid. Andrew Kittredge has been solid. And they're just going in getting outs and getting quick outs.
Yeah, it seems like every time you look at Helsley's line for games, I mean, it's 10 pitch right around that 10 pitch mark. Mm-hmm. So he's going in there. He's not walking guys. He's not kind of working around guys. He's just putting it out there and saying, there it is, hit it or don't. I'm either going to strike you out or you're going to roll it over somewhere.
No, I agree with you. And that's something that we haven't seen a lot of recently with this team or with the bullpens we've seen recently. But it's something that, you're getting off to a good start. And maybe the fact that you're not burning them up now is going to be a reason why you'll have a few of those guys later in the year when you start to face even better teams.
Claves, we are, 18 games into the year right now. Players right around that 60, 70 at-bat mark for the year. We've seen some things offensively that are probably giving Ali Marmol a lot to think about when he puts that lineup together day in and day out. And I think the biggest question right now, two of your best hitters, Ivan Herrera and Wilson Contreras, have you talked to him much about just how he balances getting both of them in the lineup or making sure that you don't, keep Herrera on the bench for too long and get him cold right now when he's hitting as well as he is?
Well, it really comes down to matchups that they're looking for to make sure they can get both those guys on the field. And excuse me, with Contreras has kind of been nursing a hand situation. They're really trying to be careful about how much they use him because it's harder for him to grip and catch balls compared to swinging a bat. So that's something they've been paying attention to. But overall, I think he's done a pretty decent job at that. I know a lot of people were grousing about the Mason Wynn situation, and he finally came out, and it was something we kind of sat on for a while. He's been dealing with a bad back. And that's why he's been getting those off days. But when he's in the lineup, like he was last night, reached base three times, had two hits and scored a run. That's the one guy that many people thought about at the beginning of the year. Well, we don't know if he can hit. I think he's maybe a solved that concern for, at this stage of the season. And again, as good as Wynn has been, we've had other guys who haven't been as good. So there's going to be this balance between the two. You're going to have guys that are going to play better. You're going to have some guys that will regress a little bit. It's a long season, and that's why I think we just have to make sure we monitor things in a more liberal manner, so to say, because of the length of the season and what's going to be facing them.
I keep looking for Mason Wynn's name in the batting average leaders. Hasn't qualified, doesn't have enough at-bats to qualify for that yet, but 370 right now for a guy last year that came up late and struggled and kind of went into spring training. And Claves, when you talked to him, he just kind of said, he said, I'm going to go back and do what I did when I was in the minors.
Yeah.
He changed too much up when he came to the majors. And I think he realized that as a 21 year old kid, when he's able to kind of realize, okay, this is what I was doing. I was changing too much. Nah, you know what? We're going to go back and we're going to do it my way.
Well, yeah. And what it is really, and I think Victor Scott's going to have to do the same thing. These guys had too wide of a stance where they were swinging for power more than putting it in play. And their load was so short that they really weren't able to put that foot down and really get some leverage on the ball. And if you notice, Wynn's feet are a lot closer together. Mm-hmm. He's deeper in the box and he's going the other way a little bit more also. And I think Scott's going to be in that same situation where he's just a little too wide for me. Now, granted, I've never been a hitting coach in the big leagues. It's just something I see. And if I see it, I'm sure the Cardinal coaches and Victor will see as well. And I think you're going to see him maybe make some adjustments here in the next couple of days also. But I know he's working at it. So it's just a matter of him being able to take it from the on-deck circle to the batter's box.
Lance Lynn on the mound tonight, making another start for the Cardinals. I believe this is start number four for him this year. Still looking to pick up win number one on the year, but by all accounts so far, Lance Lynn has pitched really well in his first couple outings for the Cardinals.
He's kept you in some ball games, that's for sure. He's kind of what I thought he would be. You know, one of the things with all of our starters, with the exception of Sonny Gray, they have to figure out how to not have that one big inning. And, you know, Lance has been just like Kyle Gibson, Steven Matz has had it as well. Not having that one big inning where things can get out of hand. And Lance has kind of, you know, stopped that bleeding for the most part. But I'm looking for him to go after these hitters tonight. I mean, this is an Oakland team that they don't have a lot of experience. They don't have a lot of power. This is a team you have to go out and get on early because their bullpen is really, really good. They've got some back-end guys that are going to be a handful. So they can shorten this thing up to a six-inning, seven-inning game if they get the lead. And that's the one thing you don't want to do early with them.
Game is at 8:40 again tonight, Klaibs. You will be on the pregame for with KMOX. What are the plans for that tonight?
Well, we'll probably be more Whitey centralized with regard to just getting thoughts from Willie McGee and Ricky Horton and Alvin Marmol for sure, and just kind of reflect on the impact that he's had on the organization going back to the 80s and his style of play at that time and just his knowledge. And so we'll probably go that route more than anything else.
And then Friday night, your first live at Lowe's of the 2024 season.
John Mozeliak will be there. And we did this a couple of years ago with John and had a good time with him with regard to, you know, how this game works and how it works for him at this stage of his career. So I'm looking forward to talking to him about that. If you think we're going to sit here and ask about why didn't you sign this guy, sign that guy, don't come over. We're not here for that. Okay. You can do that on call KMOX if you want to do that. They'll talk to you about it.
don't put that on Paulie now. Don't for any of his post game stuff.
Yeah, no, you can have it.
That's what the text line. Text Frank Show. Do that.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Text yes. Frank Show. Yeah. He stars a lot of this.
Hey, let's take a break. We come back. NBA, NHL playoffs getting underway. This is Lunch with Klaibs and Joe, powered by Gray Bar, driven by Munganess St. Louis Acura.
It's the beginning, we just got started. It's the beginning, we just got started. It's the beginning, we just got started. It's the beginning, we just got started.
Back here, Lunch with Klaibs and Joe. Those jackets they're giving away this weekend, one of the promotions for the Cardinals. Those are really nice looking jackets that the Cardinals have. Tickets still available. Cardinals.com/promotions and see what all the giveaways are for this weekend as the Cardinals welcome in their first NL Central opponent of the 2024 season.
Yeah, Milwaukee Brewers will be in town, and you know, they've gotten off to a really good start. Christian Yelich is swinging the bat. Their pitching has been okay. They're dealing without having Devin Williams in their back end. It'll be good. It'll be a good matchup. It'll be a good series.
They got a big kid on in their bullpen from Alton, Brian Hudson, drafted by the Cubs a few years ago, pitched for the Dodgers, and now he's with the Brewers now. I believe he's about 6'7". In the back end of the bullpen, big 6'7", 6'8" lefty, six appearances already on the year, has pitched pretty well for that. But he'll be pitching in front of the home crowd, maybe this weekend. I believe it'd be the first time that he would ever pitch at Busch if he gets out there too. So,
well, he can pitch at Busch this weekend, but I wish him the best of luck on Monday.
Klaibs, hey, we are also brought to you each and every week here on the Lunch Show by the Missouri Athletic Club.
The MAC is where it's at, folks. They have so many different things going on there. And I'll tell you, if you talk to them about a membership, you'll find that they have so many things to offer away from the club. I mean, they have golf all over town. If there's a wedding reception or a special event you want to have, they have the facilities for it. A lot of kids programs for the summer. It's just really a happening place. And you'd be amazed at who you run into there. And they have something literally for everyone. If you're not sure, just check them out. Go online and just see for yourself what they can do for you. And if you're a traveler, they have reciprocity for a lot of different cities where you can utilize your membership there as well. I mean, when we go to New York, the first place I go is the New York Athletic Club. Just check that out. It's massive. but there's so many other places you can go to. And with the hotel facilities and different other cities, you'll find maybe you'll get a better rate there than some of the other cities you go to. So check them out, Missouri Athletic Club. Just check them out online and you'll see what I'm talking about.
Claves, we have the NBA and the NHL season. Their playoffs are starting up. Which one do you want to start with first? Your choice.
Well, the play-in game in the NBA starts tonight.
Yep. That's Lakers Pelicans tonight and Warriors Kings. It's the West. West begins tonight.
And the Lakers have kind of had their way with the Pelicans. That should be an interesting series, especially when you think about Anthony Davis being a former Pelican. And Zion Williams has actually been playing well, despite the fact he hasn't been hurt as much. So it should be a pretty good run. Golden State, well, they got their hands full playing the Kings. That Kings bunch was really in the running for most of the season. They kind of tailed off at the end, but they're still a dangerous team, and that should be a pretty good series or a pretty good matchup with those two tonight.
I'll tell you what, I mean, the NBA couldn't have asked.
But the Western Conference from top to bottom is going to be dynamic. I can't say the same for the East, especially if Giannis is not going to play, and it appears with the strained Achilles, they don't know what his situation is going to be like. Fortunately, they don't have to play until later in the week or this weekend. But overall, I just don't see as much depth in the East. I mean, you have Boston. You know, Philadelphia is just now getting Embiid back, and Miami's just been kind of Miami. And, you know, the other teams just don't excite you. But that West, man, up and down, man, there is no weak sisters in the Western Conference.
No, and you have, talking about the East, you have teams like Philadelphia and Miami, where back in October and November, these were teams that you looked at and you thought should have been top seeds.
Yeah.
In the tournament.
Yeah,
now they're playing for their lives the next 2 days. So I don't know if it has to do with some of the load management throughout the year, if it has to do with coaching, just kind of coasting through the season, thinking, hey, if we get 50 wins, we'll be fine. We'll be in the playoffs. And then you get to March and you go, you kind of look at the schedule and you go, oh shit, you know, we might end up with 47, 48.
Yeah. No,
and
I
we
agree.
Might have to play those one and done games.
Yeah. The game has changed a lot, and I think you make a very good point about the load management where teams are trying to figure out how to really do it. And I think, as you said also, some teams sit back and just say, well, you know what, we'll turn it on when March rolls around. Well, I don't think you can do that anymore because of the way the schedule is set up. So you had some teams that really look promising early that certainly are fighting for their lives now. But, you know, those are the teams that are really dangerous because they've been in playoff mode for the last 3 weeks. Okay, so now they run across a number one or a number two seed, and all of a sudden they give that team problems. So it's gonna be must watch. It's gonna be must watch TV.
Tonight it's Lakers and Pelicans. The winner of that game is the 7 seed in the Western Conference. Then it's Warriors Kings after that. The winner of that game plays the loser of the other game on Thursday for the 8 seed. And then in the Eastern Conference, you have Heat 76ers. Winner of that's the 7 seed. Loser of that will play the winner of Hawks and Bulls later this week, too. Hawks 36-46 record, 10 games under 500, and they have a chance to make it to the postseason.
Yeah, you know, they've had some injuries. They're a real head scratcher of the team. They're not very deep, but as I mentioned, they lost their guard early for a while. They could be a little dangerous if they get themselves righted, and if they get through this first round, who knows what can happen. But I don't see them progressing that far, but they can make it interesting. And as I've said to you before, if you want to win this thing, you better be able to put teams away early in the rounds, because if you think you can go 7 games or 6 games with every team, you won't have anything left by the finals, if you can get to the finals.
Final day of the NHL regular season is on Thursday. The Blues will not make the postseason this year. They sit right now in the 9th seed. They are 5 points back of Vegas, so they won't be able to catch them. They won't be there. But 91 points on the year for the Blues would have gotten them in the playoffs in the Eastern Conference, but that's not how it works.
Well, you don't deserve to be in the playoffs. You can't beat San Jose and Columbus. So, you know, and I said this to you a month ago, that they weren't going to make the playoffs because you can't trust them. Mm-hmm. You have some players that didn't live up to expectations. You have players who helped get a guy fired. You have players who really are playing out of position or playing out of their role. And you don't have enough good players. And so with that combination, this is why you find yourself in a position where you're on the outside looking in. And so had they got in, they were not that sort of team that you would say, well, you know, if they get in, look out. No, they're not, because you can't trust them. You know, they showed up with too many multiple personalities throughout the course of the year. No team toughness. You have guys that are, but Torrey Crews are minus 30 something and your captain is minus 24. And what does that say? You don't have a stay-at-home, legitimate knockdown defenseman. You had some interesting goal scorers and Jake Neighbors. But, you know, overall, this team is still lacking talent, man. They don't have enough of it. And the talent that they do have is young, and they're trying to figure it out. And if you can't surround them with quality players, then you're just wasting everybody's time.
When
I got a question for you. The rookie of the year this year, they're going to have to give that to somebody. And I know Connor Bedard was like the fair-haired boy of the league. Can you give it to a guy who's a minus 40?
Who would that be? Would that be
Bedard? Yeah.
How many games did he end up playing this year?
65, 66.
Is that enough to give rookie of the year to?
I don't know. I mean, they made this guy sound like, you know, he was already has a bus set up for him at the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Let me go back to the Blues real quick, Klaibs. When you look back at your expectations of them preseason and seeing what they were at the beginning of the year, was this year, I don't want to say successful because they didn't make the playoffs, but when was this better than you expected them to be this year?
They were. I didn't think they could get in the playoffs. I didn't see enough on this team to make me feel like they could get in the playoffs. And I thought from the carryover of last year, I didn't see much improvement. I didn't see where they made themselves a better hockey team. I thought Robert Thomas would have a good season because I think he's kind of matured, but I didn't expect much from anybody else, and I didn't get much from anybody else.
The playoff starts again this weekend. Final games are on Thursday, and I kind of wanted to circle back to this because it came out over the weekend. The Arizona Coyotes are probably going to be selling to new owners and moving to Salt Lake City for next year, another relocation. We have seen relocation now in, I guess, all four major sports. No, not baseball yet. We haven't seen it. Well, we're seeing it happen in baseball. We know it's going to happen. So we're seeing relocation now in all four sports. Again, this is bad ownership. I mean, the Coyotes have been playing in a college facility for the last several years. I mean, 5,000 would sell that place out, what the Oakland A's had. And this seems to be done kind of a middle-of-the-night type of deal where they're telling players, like, hey, you're playing next year in Salt Lake City, and you're doing it the last week of the season. This seems even more shady than what's going on in Oakland.
It was poorly handled by the team, by the league, and it got out, and, you know, it started to spread like wildfire. We were in Arizona when that whole thing broke. And the apathy I saw from the fans that I knew there was like, whatever. They hated the owner. And I think these leagues have to do a better job of vetting owners and making them accountable more with regard to how they run their team. If you don't have enough money, then get out. If you don't meet certain standards, sell it. But we're not going to have you in our league, or we'll relegate you. Yeah, I'm all for relegation. Okay, I know it's big in Europe with soccer. I'm all for it because I think that these fans deserve better than what some of these owners are producing.
How does that work? How does that work in the top four major league sports here in America?
I think you go to the minors. I think if you maintain a certain level of play over, let's say, a 3 or 4 year period, then you're out. You go to the minors. And that's going to make you do one of two things. Either one, you're going to have to spend more money and reinvest in your team, or you're going to sell it. And if you sell it, then you're going to sell it to somebody who has enough money and wherewithal to make sure you don't go to relegation.
Or maybe in
relegation for a year, and then you move up.
And some of these cases, too, I mean, it's pretty obvious when these teams don't have money and you go into their facilities that you were in Arizona last week, you're in Oakland this week. Both of those baseball stadiums need a lot of improvement to bring themselves up to par with what the other stadiums you're traveling around to all year.
Yeah, and you know what? They tried to go the voter route, in both of those situations have failed miserably on more than one occasion. As I said to you earlier, man, voters aren't financing any more facilities. Mm-mm. Okay. That era is over. So you have to figure out a way how you can assume ownership of that situation. And I don't know whether you get a loan or I don't know how you do it, but the way these teams are just walking away from facilities and let them crumble is a travesty in its own right. But there's got to be more accountability from state and local government as well as ownership.
We will be back to wrap things up here on this week's edition of Lunch with Klaibs and Joe, powered by Graybar, driven by Munganass St. Louis Acura, here in 30 seconds.
Can Graybar help my electrical and datacom jobs be more productive?
Yep. Our supply chain services are designed to do just that.
Like job site services?
Yep. We deliver the products you need where and when you need them, no matter your industry.
What if I have technical questions?
Yep. Our specialists are top notch.
Emergency support?
Yep. Even after hours.
They're a unicorn.
When you need to keep your projects productive and profitable, rely on Graybar to help you get the job done right. No unicorns required. Yep, Graybar does that.
Klaibs, final segment here of Lunch with Klaibs and Joe, powered by Graybar, driven by Munganass St. Louis Acura. I haven't seen the number come out yet, but after all the ratings talk of the women's Final Four, I imagine the WNBA draft last night is going to set some records as well. Usually, I mean, that was something that once was held in midweek afternoon, and now it's getting primetime Monday night coverage because of all the stars that are coming into the league.
Well, you throw in the fact you didn't have anything else put on TV if you're ESPN. And, you know, it was all right. I mean, I saw a little bit of the highlights. And you know what? These ladies should be featured in that regard. I mean, they're taking this league, the WNBA, to another level. And so why not get that exposure early and promote your stars? I mean, every league, the players always say, you know, we got to be marketed better. We got to promote our stars. Well, these ladies have certainly signed up for that. And I think it's going to make it a more intriguing season. What is Indiana going to have 90% of the games on national TV in some way, shape, or form? So they're going to ride the horse that brought them to the show. And I'm good with that. And it'll also expose some other teams and some other good players in the league. And it's time. You know, they've done a really nice job this year. And let's see if they can continue.
Caitlin Clark's rookie contract, Klaibs. Have you seen the numbers on this yet?
I have not.
4-year contract for a rookie contract, number one overall pick in the WNBA, 4 years, $338,000 total. Yeah. 4 years. But first year, she'll be making $76,000.
Yeah, but see, here's a league that doesn't have the vast TV revenue sources. She'll make more money off the court than she will on the court. And that's okay by the league, and that'll enhance sponsorship. So maybe somewhere, I don't know where they're at on their collective bargaining agreement, as far as length is concerned, but I'm sure if they can secure more national sponsors TV wise, then maybe that contract will be amended. And I bet there's a loophole there. If they do go into another CBA, things will be amended for her. But she's going to make so much money off the court. And, you know, that it's kind of like when Jordan played. You know, Jordan made more money off the court than he did from the Chicago Bulls. So, yeah. You know, whatever it takes, that's what you're going to have to roll with. And I'm sure she still has a little of that NIL money from college, so she'll be okay. And I think there'll be some other players that'll be okay.
I know what we've seen. I've seen her do State Farm commercials, trying to think what other ones I've seen her on. But State Farm is the one that kind of jumps to mind, and some of the talent that State Farm seems to have on their payroll, I'm sure she's getting paid just fine.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I'd like to see them maybe take some of that money that they're paying just about everybody to sell a commercial and maybe reduce my premiums a little bit. I mean, if you look at TV now, the most recognizable commercials are those of the insurance company who continue to raise your rates when you haven't done anything wrong. And at some point, we got to get a timeout here. Hey, I know who you are. Thank you very much. But why are the rates continuing to go up when you continue to spend more and more of the money on advertising? I mean, there's got to be a cutoff at some point.
I mean, I still have 6 years before I have to worry about it, but I know student driver rates are through the roof too. So not looking forward to that inflation over the next 5-6 years.
Well, you know, there are places to live in the country you can't get insurance. Mm-hmm. And if you can, it's through the roof. And it's stunting everybody's growth. So at some point, and I know that they play the climate change card, and there's some truth to that. But at some point, man, we gotta pump the brakes here.
Claves, you mentioned earlier you'll have a lot of Whitey tributes during the pregame show tonight. Cardinals and A's starts at 8:40. What time do you guys go with the pregame?
Oh gosh, 6:10, I guess. You know, I'm bad on that kind of stuff.
You mean 8:10? 8:10.
8:10.
Yeah, 8:10 here. Yes, yeah, so you're not doing a 2.5 hour pregame out there. Yeah.
So it'll be chock full of good stuff. Matt Pauly, Joe Pott do a really good job back in St. Louis putting that whole thing together, and we'll have a good one for you tonight. And hopefully, we'll have a Cardinal win to go along with it.
Rammer and I will be along later today with Daily Cards Live talking about last night's game and looking ahead to what's in store for tonight. And then, Claves, what, tomorrow afternoon you guys play, and then back in the air for
But here's the kicker. On
Thursday? Yeah.
Day game tomorrow, what do you think the over-under will be for a crowd in the middle of the week? They play a lot of day games out here in California. So, but you got to wonder, man. It's weather's pretty good tomorrow.
You and Ricky will be able to count them.
Maybe about a fifth inning.
Yeah, you guys like get a good head count out there. Figure that out.
Yesterday there were as many, if not more, Cardinal fans at the ballpark. Mm-hmm. I don't know where they came from, but they had as many, if not more, Cardinal fans than they had A's fans.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if the Pittsburgh Pirates come out here and play. You know, some team that doesn't have the tradition that the Cardinals do.
Right.
What do you think would happen if the Tampa Bay Rays showed up out here?
Midweek, you get a midweek game against like the Tigers or something, or just a National League team that, it's not going to be good. There's going to be some rough games out there this year.
There's no doubt.
Yeah. Well, we will wrap it up for you today. If you missed any of it, you'll be able to listen to the audio version of it or just rewatch this over on the Claves Online YouTube page. Just search for Claves Online. Until then, he is Mike Claiborne. I'm Joe Roderick. This has been Lunch with Claves and Joe, powered by Graybar, driven by Munganess St. Louis Acura, each and every week right here on Claves Online.
Are you ready for a challenging and rewarding career? There are quality jobs in the construction industry.
I got out of college and my career choices were very limited, and this provided me with a plan for the present and the future at the same time.
I actually have a bachelor's degree in psychology, and I was making less than I make as a first year apprentice painter.
I didn't go to college. I have no college debt. I make more money than the majority of people I know that went to college.
Take your first step towards a rewarding career. Visit stlouispdf.org.